Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety FAQ podcast. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and I'll be answering your questions about child and teen anxiety. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I've been working with kids and families for more than 30 years. Now I run Child Anxiety Support, a membership program for parents of anxious kids and teens. Let's get started. This week, we're answering a super common question that I get in different forms, and it's, how do I get my anxious child to sleep alone? The person who asked this question has a 10-year-old, and that 10-year-old still needs their parent to stay with them at night. We're going to call this child Francine because that is nothing like her real name, and we want to protect her privacy. Anyway, Francine is 10, she's going on 11, she has a younger sibling who is 5, and the way the family works bedtime is that one parent will help the 5-year-old get to sleep, and the other parent stays with Francine. The family has a good bedtime routine. They start getting everyone into pajamas, get the teeth brushed, all of that, and they settle everybody in at around 8:30 in their own bedrooms. Theoretically, lights are out at 9. However, Francine is struggling to fall asleep and has been staying up later and later. Her parents are getting increasingly frustrated because they want to spend time together in the evening, and they have a lot of things to get done too after the kids are in bed. But Francine wants one parent to stay in the room with her until she's asleep. The family has tried leaving her alone, but she'll just come out of the room and interrupt them repeatedly. Or if she does happen to fall asleep, which very rarely happens, she will then wake up several times at night and demand to either sleep with them in their room or ask that one of them come back into her room to sit with her until she falls back asleep. And until they do one of those things, let her sleep in their room or sleep with her in her room, then nobody is getting any sleep at all. No wonder they're frustrated. And I'm sure Francine is frustrated too, because I'm sure she doesn't want to create so much fuss. Now, this family has tried a lot of things. They've tried rewards. They've tried behavior charts. They've tried sound machines and audiobooks. They've tried melatonin. They've met with their doctor to see if Francine has any health issues. They've tried getting angry and just refusing, but that just drags out the inevitable. And of course, at night, everyone is exhausted, and so the parents end up giving in. Again, this is a super common scenario. The details may be different, but if you've got a bigger kid who still needs this much support to fall asleep alone, well, you're in good company. Let's talk about this issue in the context of anxiety, because this indeed is an anxiety issue. There are two common reasons why anxious kids might be struggling with sleep. The first is generalized anxiety, which is basically being worried about everything. As I'm sure all of you know, and all of you have experienced, the deep, dark quiet at night is prime worrying time. If I could see you, I'd ask for a show of hands for how many of you have ever dealt with insomnia, where you're staring at the ceiling, you are yearning to go to sleep, but your brain is just churning through every potential disaster and every past mistake. Well, that happens to children and teens too. A child who is prone to worrying in the day is just as prone to worrying at night, and maybe even more prone because at night, our mental defenses are low, we're tired, and our brains are less guarded, All of those worries we've been pushing aside show up and make it hard to fall asleep. If you have a child who worries about worrying, then they may be using you as a distraction from that worrying when they ask you to come into bed with them. Or they might be reaching out to you for reassurance. They may find you a calming presence, someone who keeps the worry monsters at bay, and they want you in the room so they can check with you or just feel you there in the room, helping them calm and go to sleep. That's the generalized anxiety kid. The second reason a child might struggle to sleep alone is separation anxiety, and this is actually the most common. This would be a child who doesn't want to be away from you during the day either. They may follow you from room to room or insist on coming upstairs with you when you are running up to grab something, or will call to you if you go to the bathroom without letting them know that you're leaving the space. They might also have trouble separating from you for school or other activities. These children might feel vulnerable and unsafe when they're alone, or they might be worried about you and want to keep an eye on you. They might be worried about how you're doing. Separation anxiety can be part of their functioning long term, but it can also crop up after a traumatic event. For example, if you were recently ill, or there's been a death in the family, or a neighbor was robbed, they might need you close to know that both they and you are safe. This is not uncommon. Of course, both elements of anxiety, generalized anxiety and separation anxiety, can be present in one child. Francine may feel safer when a parent is with her because she worries about someone breaking in through her window, and she may also find that she has more intrusive worrying thoughts that come to her at night. The family hasn't shared that with me. Although one thing they did tell me in their email is that Francine is also worried about getting enough sleep. I know how that feels, and I'm sure you do too. The later it gets, the more aware we are that morning is coming on fast, and then the harder it is to fall asleep. And sometimes we have made that worse as parents because we've said, oh my gosh, you have got to get some sleep. You've got to go to sleep tonight. Tomorrow's going to be a disaster if we don't get sleep. And that additional pressure can make things just that much more difficult. All right, now we have a picture of what might be happening. Let's shift to talking about what to do. Sleep issues are often deeply entrenched. They usually have been going on for a while. It's a parenting pitfall that creeps up on us. We start by doing things, creating a routine, just to help everyone get to sleep. Maybe we sit in our child's room till they fall asleep and it was easy. We're reading our Kindle, they're drifting off, it's pleasant and it's fine. But then the routine gets more complicated. It gets more demanding, we get more stuck. That's because parents tend to start trying to deal with it and then give up because, well, they're exhausted. What happens is that we are actually training our kids to escalate the problem, to push more and more and more. Every time we deal with it and are unable to follow through for whatever reason, we can expect things to be that much more difficult to get out of it. That's just a fact. It doesn't mean that trying and not making it work means you have failed. It just is a sign that, yes, you are going to need a more clear plan of action and support in follow through. Let me explain this by giving a fake example. Let's say that a parent has a child who, like Francine, wants their parent, let's say their mom, to stay in the room with them. Mom tells them that she'll stay for 10 minutes. That's it. But the child starts crying when her mom gets up to leave after 10 minutes. The child begs and begs, and mom stands there arguing with them, explaining, "I can't stay with you. I have this to do. I have that to do." Finally, the mom says, "Enough." She leaves the room. And then the child starts screaming. The mom goes back in. Now she's pretty angry. She says, "You have to settle down," and tries to leave again. This time the child gets out of the bed, following mom, still crying. The mom takes them by the hand and brings them back, but they leap from the bed, sobbing, and race out the door. Mom goes after them. And this goes on for so long that mom understandably gives in and stays with them until they finally cry themselves to sleep. And then the next night, they don't even try. Or some version of that. Maybe this reflects an experience you have had. That parent, perhaps you, may feel heartbroken. They may feel manipulated or trapped. They may be angry or embarrassed or defensive. I've heard from parents who feel all kinds of ways about it. And really, what those parents need is that structured plan. They are going to have to make the break for sure. The family needs to get sleep. The child deserves to figure out how to manage their anxiety and sleep. Everybody deserves to get sleep. And if for your family that means sleeping separately, that is fine. You do not have to co-sleep if you don't want to. You do not have to lay down with your child if you don't want to. Trust me, learning to sleep on your own is a good skill to have. But that means the parents are going to need to push things with their child. And it's likely, well, their kid is not going to be happy about that. But with that plan, clear communication with the child so they're not surprised, they know what to expect, and graduated exposure, which means taking things step by little step, the family will see results. And then they will be able to build on those small results to get to big results. One of the most challenging things about making this shift is helping parents understand that teasing it out, teasing apart the problem, and creating the plan isn't going to be a quick fix. The longer it's been going on, the longer it's likely to take to get unstuck. Also, the more intense the child is in general, the more intense we can expect the process to be. But when we have realistic expectations, then we won't be disappointed or discouraged. And part of that expectation is it does not have to be all or nothing. It does not have to be, I give in and we stay in your room forever and ever. And it doesn't have to be, I leave you and lock the door and you're screaming on the other side of it. Absolutely not. It is much more nuanced than that. What we do know is that parents hold the key to making a difference in these kinds of sleep issues. If you want help with your anxious child and their sleep, you can find it in my Child Anxiety Support Program. The Strong Kids, Strong Families walks you through how to make a plan, and I'm available to answer your questions and help you personalize it. I'm there via private message, community posts, and in our live events, which include chats, workshops, and drop-in office hours. And I also want you to know that in April, we'll be doing our first cohort program. What this means is that in the first week of April, we'll be doing the first lesson in Strong Kids, Strong Families together, second week, second lesson, etc., through the six-week program. All of the live events will be about that lesson, whatever's happening that week. We'll be sharing resources, more supports, more information. Now, I do want you to know, the program is always open. I don't do launches because I want it to be available to anyone who needs it, wherever, whenever they need it. But in April, we will be walking through the program with all members, 6 weeks, one lesson each week, so that we can do it together as a community. To get in on that, join today, and we'll be getting started together April 3rd, 2023. And the topic for March, which is when you're going to be hearing this episode, is meltdowns. So each live event this week, we'll be talking about meltdowns, how to deal with it, what they can look like, why they happen, all of that. Mostly what I want you to know is you do not have to deal with this struggle alone, and I promise you that things can improve.
Thanks for tuning in this week. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on the show, you can reach out to me by going to childanxietysupport.com and submitting a question there. You can also check out the program while you're there. And if you'd like to learn more about whether or not it would be a good fit for your family, feel free to reach out for a quick consult call. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week.